be talking about with legislators about the Justice Reinvestment Equity Fund, about the need to maintain the Measure 110 funding formula, and also talking about our other legislative priority, which is renewing the Family Sentencing Alternative Program. And this is a program that diverts custodial parents, legal guardians, and we hope now with a new definition of caregiver, people who are primary caregivers for children away from the prison system and into intensive treatment and family supportive services so that we can keep families united and keep these families healthy and strong. So we have an exciting, I think, legislative agenda really focused on the solutions to keep our communities safer and that prioritize keeping people out of the justice system. If you're not registered to join us on our lobby day, but want your legislators to hear about these priorities, go to our website on the Take Action button, and you can email your legislators, and we've got a little template there, and we'd love to have your voices join us on April 16th and email your legislators about these priorities. Our website is safetyandjustice.org.
Shannon White with Partnership for Safety and Justice and Cleo Tung with Northwest Health Foundation. Thank you so much and all the best at Advocacy Day on April 16th. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Appreciate you.
I've been speaking with Shannon White and Cleo Tung, and I will see you all at the Capitol in Salem on April 16th. This is Prison Pipeline, produced at the studios of KB.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Community Radio during this special programming campaign, All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 4. Now through April 15th, you will hear different marathons and series, all brought to you by our talented programmers that make KBOO KBOO. If you'd like to listen to all the fabulous specials, go to kboo.fm/ATNF4.
Hello, my name is TK Kapurai and I'm an immigrant from Zimbabwe. I'm the host of The Global Cell, which airs live in the air room the first Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m. I host immigrants and refugees from various global spots. I like to bring out their lived experiences so the world can know something about them. I like to bring a lot through my guests so we may have diverse experiences, cultures, foods, music, interests, and anything on the platform. We can share and learn a lot through their live instructions. Let's do this together, not only for a better platform for our community, but a better community for our platform. Again, tune in for my show, The Global Cell, live in the air room, the first Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m. here on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and also available on the web at kboo.fm.
This is M1 from Dead Press.
Hey, what's up? This is Boots from The Coup.
Nah, I mean, telling you to stay tuned to Hard Knock Radio.
Keep it locked.
On the move, this is Pam Africa on Hard Knock Radio, the station of resistance. Down with this rotten-ass system.
Yo, check this out. Hard Knock Radio coming at you, bringing the noise. This is Chuck D, Public Enemy number one, news, views, and hip-hop.
I'm Eddie Zane.
And I'm Helen Zia.
And we're on Hard Knock Radio.
What's up, folks? This is your girl Femi representing the whole Bay Area. I'm here on Hard Knock Radio, news, views, and hip-hop. Stay tuned.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. Over the weekend, I was minding my own business, chilling, observing the history that is taking place, a little disturbed because we see that our cultural institutions are under attack. Our history institutions are under attack. I was disturbed to get a letter from a dean of a prestigious school. And that letter was sent out to a lot of educators around the country, and it showed the type of changes that have already taken place at the African American Museum in Washington, D.C. They removed the word slavery when describing Harriet Tubman and, you know, talked about John Brown was a complex individual, but doesn't really talk about why he revolted, and basically says, you know, Harriet Tubman did a lot to bring the races together. Definitely trying to sanitize what is going on. And it's part of a larger plan to really dilute and criminalize and disparage not only our history, but the cultural institutions and expressions that we use to rally around it. So I was a little disturbed after minding my own business this week, and then I saw another newspaper article, and this one came out of St. Louis, and it talked about Tef Poe. Tef Poe, no stranger to our airwaves, a central figure in the Ferguson unrest. He was coming under fire. And he was coming under fire not because he did a rap song where he talked about killing people, not because he did a rap song that would encourage people from different parts of town to fight one another, but he was coming under fire because in a very contentious mayoral debate in St. Louis, he decided to express his politics in not one but two songs. That led to him being investigated by the police and other law enforcement agencies that he has yet to find out. And when you look at all the things that are going on around the country, people losing visas for writing op-eds about what's going on in Palestine, people being denied entry into this country because they are political-minded in their art or what or other activities. This hit close to home. And Tef Poe, who has traveled the world and brought to the world's attention the plight of what was going on in Ferguson, is no doubt somebody who's under the crosshairs. And so I wanted to have him on because it's more than just you doing a rap song. As I pointed out, Tef, I think there's a lot more to it. So welcome to the show, and how have you been doing?
Man, I'm doing great. Good to see you again, Dave, man.
What would you add to what I was talking about? I don't know if I covered all the ground, but I'm curious about your political take at this moment in time.
So just to offer some backstory, I'm known for doing diss records on politicians, especially locally. I decided a long time ago I wasn't going to be one of the guys using hip-hop to kind of tear us down, even though I come from a battle rap background. I learned a while ago how to use that skill to address politicians and corporations that may have been doing things that we don't agree with. So that's where we start. We onboard with that. This isn't something new that I just decided to do. It's almost expected in my community that
I go back with you to the Hillary Clinton days. You had a song called Hillary. Yeah,
exactly.
That's what people don't remember.
Exactly. And I don't cater to Democrat or Republican. So I'll spark it on a Democrat, I'll spark it on a Republican. You know what I'm saying? So basically, fast forwarding, we have a really thick mayoral race in St. Louis with the first black woman mayor ever elected. And she was pretty much placed in power by the black movement, by the Ferguson movement, by the citywide defund the police movement and other initiatives, these coalition forces on the left coming together to get her elected. The person that she's up against now is a person that she previously defeated. But this, her name is Kara Spencer. She went and got the support of these ginormous corporations that seek to basically displace the north side of St. Louis, which is the black side of St. Louis. She's willing to work with the corporate interest groups to attack the black community in some very covert ways. And she has traditionally tried to position herself as a friend of the community, but we've learned over the course of time that that was far from the truth. So I decided to do what I'm known to do, but I learned from us fighting with Cori Bush against Wesley Bell that we really got to double down, and that this wasn't going to be something where we could come at it with the same usual force of energy, because we already don't stand the chance in hell given how much money she's raising. But we all that, which means we really got to fight. And I told my friends, I said, this time, this one's going to be a little worse than the rest of them. And they said, what do you mean? And I said, this time, I got to take it a little further than I ever took it. And it may confuse people. Why am I going so hard? Or why is he attacking this woman? But I had to do this for Black St. Louis, and I had to stand up for the community.
Let me ask you this. Were you surprised to see that there was an investigation launched on you?
Yes and no. Her name is Kara Spencer, but one of her nicknames is Karen Spencer. So, not at all. T-Dubbo, who you know very well, she spreaded a wild accusation saying that he was calling for people to hunt her down with guns and stuff like that a while ago. And it was just an all-out lie. She took a Facebook comment and sensationalized it. So I knew she was going to do the same thing in this case because I got all the optics that somebody like her would like to play with. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. 6'2" Black man, tattoos, adjacent to hip hop, a little bit of street adjacency. Maybe we could use this to discredit the Black mayor a little bit. But this mayor has done a lot for the Black arts sector, more than I think any mayor that we've ever had. I haven't always agreed with our mayor, which makes this a very interesting scenario for people on the ground in St. Louis. Me and the mayor were not allies going into her race against this lady. It's a very homegrown story where I saw the homegirl getting jumped. And I said, look, we got an issue with her in many ways. And that's our internal thing. But what y'all not going to do is come through our own neighborhood and jump this lady and think that we ain't going to help her fight. That's what y'all not going to do. You know what I'm saying? And you're not going to weaponize the place that she's actually from against her. And I want to say this to Black people out there. We got the right to determine what our leadership looks like, man. It's not going to always be perfect. So sometimes when we get a Black leader in there, we'd be so quick to be like, yo, they could have did this, they could have did that. And that's very true. Those are extremely legitimate claims. But there is a strategic mechanism to this where I know for a fact that our mayor lives on the west side of St. Louis, which is one of the most poverty-stricken sides of the city, even though she don't got to. I know she raising a family over there, even though she don't got to. That means this lady is of the people, regardless to some of the bad decisions she may be making with her governance. So it just gives us a chance to address our own, and every other community gets that chance. You know, like if I was a Catholic, you know, they got egregious stuff happening, but they get to determine what their leadership looks like without outside influence. If I was from another group, you know, the various groups of people have just, you know, terrible things going on internally, but externally you don't get to determine what their power structure looks like. And I think Black people all across the United States, in the Oaklands and the St. Louis's and the Trenton, New Jersey's and the trenches of the country, the Mississippi's and the Biloxi's and the Jacksons and the Memphis's, we gotta get that level of strategic about it as well, because what they're not going to do is put a Black person with good morals and great leadership ability in power over a white person that they prefer to have a job despite them being incapable of doing it.
You know, as you're sitting here talking about outside forces, several things came to mind. I'm thinking about the outside forces, people who don't live in Oakland, who, you know, have poured huge money into the mayoral campaign, poured huge money into the recall efforts. And then I'm looking at the huge amount of money that came in. You mentioned Cori Bush. Mm-hmm. We were talking with her, interviewed her when she was running. And here's a woman that really saw the wrath of AIPAC, because she didn't say, I support Hamas.
Right.
She didn't say, you know, let's bring weapons and get rid of Israelis. She said, can we have a ceasefire? Mm-hmm. And they pulled out all the stops and came to Black St. Louis and came to a district where you all fought hard out of Ferguson. People said, you know, when Ferguson was happening, why don't you all get political? Why don't you all, you know, rally up? Why don't you all put people in office? And you did that three or four times. And Cori Bush was one of those folks. And, you know, I would expect that, you know, she was doing her best to represent the sentiments. But they poured tons of money into that race, AIPAC, as they did in Oregon, as they did in New York with Jamal Bowman, as they did right here in Oakland, to, you know, to bring people that were going to be sympathetic in the Central Committee, the Democratic Central Committee. So these outside forces, you know, when this attack happened on Cori, how did you feel about that? And what was your thought seeing outside institutions come into a place where, to my knowledge, they hadn't been there before? They never showed up. They ain't opened up a community center. I don't, you know, you and so many other people we know in Ferguson are very visible. To my knowledge, they ain't really talked to you too much.
Correct. It's more the same old with that, Dave. And that's kind of why I made these tracks that I made. Because a good friend of mine, Walter Johnson, a historian from Harvard, he does a lot of writing about St. Louis and the history of Missouri. And he's always talking about these big corporate power interest groups that are dominated by age-old white people. And he always, you know, kind of says, man, he's always trying to urge me to go at some of those groups, right? And unearth that to the people a little bit more. And I just didn't have something that felt natural until now, because this is actually happening. We actually have a person coming in trying to sell the city. She's talking about selling the airport to these private interest groups. They're talking about possibly even selling the St. Louis Cardinals, which is the identity of the city. They're talking about, we're going to have police that are not locally ran anymore, because after Ferguson, the town really has gone into a different direction with violence and so forth. But honestly, our black mayor was able to drop the crime rate, which nobody thought she could do. But they're doing things that will make it harder for black people. Like I said, states, the police are about to be state ran by the state in St. Louis, which is a whole different ballgame, which means the governor, he wants control over our local police. He wants the mandate to tell our local police how to police St. Louis. What they are about to do out here, Dave, is set us up for the second wave of the real attack. Ferguson was 10 years ago. They're setting us up for the second wave of the real attack. They want us to be comparable to these major big white epicenters that have the ability to be economical powerhouses for the United States. So even though a person like this person is a Democrat, Kara Spencer is a Democrat, she's coming in under a straight MAGA operational hat. So in 2 or 3 years down the road, she might as well actually be a Republican. Democrat is just the placeholder of the name, because does that part really matter in local politics? Right. You know what I'm saying? So I'm watching the mission happen. She's working with all the people that we wouldn't vote for to get herself situated. And for me, this means we got to double down in the streets, right? We have to have the ability to let the streets know. Even if they do get the first part of this off, even if they do win the election, it don't matter, because now we're locked in for a fight no matter how this goes. We're locked in for a battle no matter how this goes. We're locked in. These are the ops no matter how this goes. And I have been able to do that with this music that I dropped recently. But they called an open investigation on me after the first song. I named the first song The Ghost of Ivory Perry. I did that very intentionally. It was more of a drill sound and beat. St. Louis has this genre right now amongst young rappers called high-speed music, where they make these sped up drill beats and they drive reckless as hell to those beats. So I took one of those styles of beats and made this song called The Ghost of Ivory Perry. Ivory Perry is a well-known activist who fought in the civil rights and in the Black Power era in St. Louis. And he was basically the forefather to our style of organizing in Ferguson. He created the lay down in the traffic and block the cars. And he would go head to head with these white corporations and with the mayor. And he was all about stopping the displacement of black people and you know, situations like the Pruitt-Igoe projects, which was one of America's first projects, and black people were in there living worse than rats. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he was an instrumental figure, towering figure in fighting these forces. And if he was alive today, there's no way in hell that he would be going for this, like, at all. So I named the song "The Ghost of Ivory Perry" because some of these people are glad he's dead. They're glad he's an old man and his time has passed, because these are the same people that he was at war with. These are the same forces that he was locked in. And this is a generational battle. So I paid homage to Ivory with that title, and I got the streets in the city involved with the sound of the record. And it brought people together in a way that was undeniable in Black St. Louis, because the older people were like, oh, he's paying homage to Ivory. And then the streets were like, yo, this is crazy. This is, are y'all hearing what the hell this is he's saying? And they thought I was going to leave it at that, because she started inboxing folks saying, I can't believe you're supporting threats on my life. But I didn't threaten her. You know what I'm saying?
I listened to it. We'll play it. I didn't hear a threat.
Yeah,
I heard what hip hop does. It's metaphors, and in this case, you do direct calling out. But a couple of things come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
What was one of the biggest records this year that went mainstream? And when I say mainstream, major corporations poured millions of dollars to support it. I mean, sold out tour everywhere, on every major station, Super Bowl, the whole nine, and when somebody who was on the losing end of that said, you know what, I think this went too far, and I want to sue the label to see if they manipulated some of the money, which, you know, we all know record labels and radio stations take a lot of money. We saw every major person that you can think of suddenly become an expert and get on their platforms. I mean, on the popular news shows and say, how dare this guy, you know, call for a lawsuit and an investigation, you know, with a rap, you know, over a rap song, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, I'm referring to Drake. The official response to them trying to dismiss his lawsuit is that Drake was in support of rap lyrics not being able to be used in a court of law, something that our governor out here signed.
Yeah. So, That's what happened today, basically.
Right.
You're right on the money.
So when I'm hearing this, I'm going, well, this mayor or this mayoral candidate said in the newspaper article, I feel Tef Poe's pain. So, well, if you feel his pain, you're supposed to act on it. But instead, she called the police.
And the thing is, she only took that stance after, and I got to give shout out to black women. A lot of women were like, yo, it's wild that this woman wants to be the mayor of a black city, but she's going to call the police on a black man who wrote a song. Like, he didn't, and if we're being honest, I didn't go in there and say.
You didn't call her out her name or nothing.
It's no, you know, I didn't take the Ice Cube route, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, if you can't stand the heat, get out the kitchen. You know, you want to vie for power and push people's lives around, but we don't got a right to address it with the natural means of us addressing it. You know what I'm saying?
Tef, somebody listening would say, well, you know, Tef, why don't you just go out and organize and get enough people to vote? Isn't that what the song is designed to do ultimately?
And that's exactly what I'm doing. This, and let me tell you something about this day. What, I ain't never seen something like this right now. The city is on fire. Black people in this city are on fire right now. I mean, I wish the rest of the world knew what was going on out here. It's like a Kendrick Lamar Not Like Us moment, but it's behind politics. You know what I'm saying? And everybody's on one accord. The millennial black generation is all on one accord. we really need the older generation to get with us if we really want to have a fighting chance. Those are the people that we're worried about. But the millennial black generation is on one accord with this one, is influencing the younger generations. And I'm hoping and praying that that small percentile of older folks that kind of ain't with us take in consideration how this generation feels about the candidate. But the city is absolutely on fire right now. If you can get on social media and check into St. Louis social media, you're going to see some very interesting things, especially on that Facebook. It is on fire. I've never seen nothing like it. Maybe Ferguson was comparable. Well, I know Ferguson was comparable. It was the biggest thing in the world at that time.
One of the things that has not really been talked about in Ferguson and people taking these strong political stances is not one, not two, but six or seven people being killed who were on the front line in Ferguson over the years.
Yes.
And, you know, each one, it seems like, well, we can kind of explain it away, but when you go, how coincidental that you have seven people, many of them who played major, major roles, you know, were featured on the cover of magazines and whose work we all use to actually, you know, tune in and watch, are all gone. And that's something that I haven't, I mean, if there should be an investigation, maybe it should be around that. Can we talk a little bit about, you know, those deaths that people have literally have seemed to have forgotten?
Yeah, man. So it's a touchy subject because when you actually live here, you know, it's kind of like the 50 Cent ghetto Quran thing. You know things that people who don't live here know about all those situations. And it's something that if you're going to get active the way I get active, of course, it's on the forefront of my mind. But I really don't activate it in a set of fear because really, at this point, at this age, I'm just falling in with the tradition of cats that came before me. People like Homer G. Phillips, who was a black doctor from the north side of St. Louis, who was fighting these same exact people. And he was killed by a young man who walked up on the streets and said, "Hey, man," and this is in the 70s or something like that. And he walked up on him and said, "Hey, man, ain't you Homer G. Phillips?" and shot him in the stomach. He was hired by these corporations, which in St. Louis, I'm talking a lot, you know what I'm saying? And somebody might come back and watch this video on some Machiavellian stuff. This is what people don't know about St. Louis, Missouri. It's the same. It's owned by the same people who owned slaves, the original people who came here as slaves. These same families have morphed into crime families. Sometimes in previous generations, they looked like the mafia and they moved like the mafia, or they were called the St. Louis Mafia. They might have metamorphed into the Veiled Prophet Society, which is another strong white economical secret society organization that's throwing up buildings and can control politicians all over the place and has a lot of adjacency to like what would look like an elite version of the KKK. You have...
Well, the elite version of the KKK used to be the White Citizens Council.
Mm-hmm.
That was all the business folks. Is that the equivalent to these
are the exact people. That's what I'm talking about. These people who, so they got hands in places like St. Louis and New Orleans. And when you really peel that cupboard back, and this is not conspiracy theory. This is true to life fact. The man that the government says killed Martin Luther King came from a place called Alton, Illinois. Alton, Illinois is 15 minutes outside of St. Louis. He spent his entire life in South St. Louis. He told the FBI that he was working with a guy named John Sutherland. The Sutherlands are a very powerful white family from St. Louis. They're kind of in the shadows now, but for a long time they weren't. The paperwork in the FBI file says that they were interested in possibly putting $40,000 on Martin Luther King's head. When you go visit the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, if you look at what you're watching correctly, it tells you about the link to St. Louis with the assassins. So what I'm spelling out here is that these King came into this area not knowing what he was dealing with. He wasn't dealing with those old school white boys. We 3 hours from Memphis. We basically consider that our like sister city. Right. So he came into Memphis dealing with basically what I would consider the mob, the white mafia. They run the labor groups. They run the labor unions. They run the politicians. Same thing was going on in St. Louis and is going on in St. Louis today. They're just smart enough to give themselves blanketed names, secret LLCs. They're moving a lot more differently, but it's still high-level organized crime.
Seth, Paul, let me ask you this. And if you can approach this question from a couple of angles. When all the interviews, and we did a lot of coverage on Ferguson, if you remember, we talked to you almost every day. We didn't go to Ferguson quite intentionally for the first year, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and we felt like, you know, you and others were on the ground, and our job was to give you all the mic, and you guided us through that. And then we went and saw it ourselves, you know. The scenario in St. Louis and in Ferguson kind of reminds me of what we see going on here. Uh-huh. People disappeared, total lockdown, folks, you know, finding that all the branches of government, in your case, the police and the city council and the mayor and all these things, working against you. And people on the outside, I remember you was telling me, they would say, well, why don't they just go vote? And you broke that whole thing down, said there's 24,000 warrants for people in a city that's 20,000 people. And when people go to vote, the police are sitting there waiting for them at the polls. And it's like, well, why are they breaking the law? And, you know, at first when you told it, people didn't believe it. To the, you know, Department of Justice case came out and said, man, they pull you over. Yeah, like 50 towns. You go from one town to the next. You get pulled over. You get a ticket. It's almost impossible to pay off the ticket because you got to do it in person. And you got to do it on Wednesday once a month between the hours of 11 and 11:15. And if you don't, you got a warrant. And, you know, and you all were victimized to that. And when you told it, people said that can't be true. But it came out. Those totalitarian conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, this wasn't far right people that did it. These were all Democrats, right? You know, your DA and the whole nine, right? What do we need to learn, and how do you see your experience of growing up in a situation like that with what we see going on now with this current administration, with the total clampdown, freedom of speech compromise?
Yeah.
You know, being penalized for just speaking, you being investigated for doing a damn song, knowing that if you did a song that said you was going to kill your ops, because you know, they might put it on the radio and maybe put you in the Super Bowl.
You're right. That's what motivated me to do this, to show people like the hypocrisy. And that's why I treated it like I was battling some real ops, because they are, you know what I'm saying? So I dropped three of them things, Dave, three back to back, bow, 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 you know what I'm saying? But what I feel about it is kind of like what I'm trying to show through my example of even using music to address it, is that we just got to be ready to fight. And you got to use whatever you do to fight, how you're doing your radio show and the various other things you do, teaching and DJing and just being involved in the culture and in the community and having a thorough understanding. And at this point, being a bit of a, not like a gatekeeper, but an official person that people need to go through to get certain pieces of information. You know, I'm just learning from people like you and people that have always done this the way that it was supposed to be done. You use what you got to fight. You know, you fight the war with the army you got, not the army you wish you had. And you do what you got to do to feel fulfilled in contributing to the mission, however it looks. You know, some people, it might be your job to drop the food on the floor. You know, don't feed the master. It might be your job to pick the lock. You know what I'm saying? It might, Lupe, when he went to the White House, he played the same song over and over and over and over and over. It's, you got to get it in there how you can get it in there. You know what I'm saying? And just like they got covert people in the army, we got covert people in ours, you know? And one thing I learned from being from the Midwest is I look at the example of somebody like a Larry Hoover, who people might say this is a criminal, blah, blah, blah. But one thing I know about the Gangsta Disciple Nation, being a dude from St. Louis, is that GDs are everywhere. You got GDs that are judges. You got GDs that are wardens. You got GDs that are lawyers. You got GDs that are football players. You got GDs that are teachers. You got GDs that are mechanics. They have managed to be one of the only black gangs that can kind that is kind of say, you know what, I don't gotta outwardly bang GD, but if I know you throwing up the same thing and I happen to be on your case, you have 5 years off. Hung jury. They don't know I was a GD when I was 16. They don't know I'm a grown ass man that still say on King David because I'm in that organization. Mm-hmm. You know? So they got GD congressmen on the low. You know, so that's what we got to do at mass as black people, where we get a person at the right spot. Go and pick that lock for me, bro. Mm. You know, go and pick that lock. Do what you can. If you get jury duty, do what you can. Don't get kicked off that mug. Don't get kicked off the jury. Ride it through if you can. If they let you ride it through. Let's see what the process is about. Report it back to the rest of us, because not enough of us make it to jury duty to even know what the process of being on a jury is like. So These are the things I'm trying to use my music to address, is that I'm using what I got to address the issue of some very, very powerful people. And on top of that, I'm still organizing. It's just an organizing tool.
Right. And they use their organizing tools. You know,
exactly.
We see them from coast to coast. What are some of the ways they use an organizing tool? Just so people know, every single city has a website that, you know, sometimes you know the people, most times you don't. And those websites are dedicated to highlighting crime, right? We have about 15 here in the Bay. You all have yours in St. Louis, because we talk to people and, you know, people, you know, it's like, who put these things? They got clear video. And they have an agenda, and that agenda is to make black people look crazy. Oftentimes that we found it ain't black people even running it, but they're there, right? And so we have that. The second thing we know is that, as you said, they utilize media. So everybody have these publicists that they can go to the local news station. So, you know, I'm talking to you, but maybe the local folks, they're not necessarily talking to you. And if they do, they're putting you in a compromised position. You see what I'm saying? You know, and giving her a full blanket, you know, assessment, and letting her play victim versus, you know, hey, you're a politician who plays by the rules. It's a rough and tumble game. So why would you call the police?
And also, let's talk about the fact that you are a politician. I got constitutional rights. I got constitutional rights, man. So it's like, as long as I'm not violating law and I'm not disrupting constitutional law, what are you doing? And that put the police, from what I heard, in a very compromised situation, because they wanted to try to press it since she said something. But then somebody up there was like, yo, this is like violating all types of constitutional stuff, and we gonna pick this
but
dude.
We're seeing freedom of speech being violated right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was the other thing. It's like, I'm just looking at all the resources that corporations have been able to use, you know, having organizations like ALEC, for example, where they were writing laws that would allow somebody like her to maybe run, or maybe people who support her to run a nasty ad, you know, on TV and make, you know, her opponent look crazy, make you look crazy, and everybody else look crazy. And then when you come along and do a song that's not even on the radio, all of a sudden you need to be investigated.
Not even on the radio. Internet.
Which is crazy to me, that culture can be used as a weapon for them, but they want it to be used as a weapon. They want us to use culture as a weapon to keep us down.
Well, you know, our culture is only accepted when we mechanize it to the good of them anyway. Right. If you're rapping, you're making money for them, you could talk about whatever you want. Me and my boys been laughing all day about the fact that if I would have put this song out talking about some local black men that I don't like or got an issue with, and I was talking about killing these fools, police wouldn't even thought twice. It's just a song. There's nothing we can do.
Right.
There's no investigation for what? Oh, because I want to run the white South African off the land. That's why. because I want to get rid of the white South African on our land, because I'm moving like the EFF. I'm using music. I'm using the beat of the drum to get it done. And that's the thing. I'm using my ancestral traditional things that they gave me by birthright. They gave this to me by birthright to address the colonizer. And I think people like her got it confused, because I don't care how many dive bars you go to. I don't care how many times you go down to the Zodiac bar down there on Grand and order a tripe sandwich and all that mess that you're doing. I don't care how many security guards you got to move around town with when you go to the black side of town, like you're in some type of Eddie Murphy movie. I don't care. I don't care. I come from an African impulse to fight you, and I will do it until I can't do it no more. And I'm using the beat of the drum, just like Shaka Zulu, just like Queen Azinga, all the people before me did. I'm using the same exact tools that they used to remove you from the land.
Is she from South Africa?
No, I'm just being ignorant, because she looked like a white South African.
Well, the Dutch was the main people, you know, in the Midwest in many of these places, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as we close out, Tef, I think you gave us advice. Everybody needs to be prepared to fight. You know, with everything that's going on, you've been to Palestine, you've been to all these different places you got a chance to see. What should we know as we lock in and see, you know, what should we know, you know, with our global allies? Or do we even have allies globally speaking? When you traveled and you brought the plight of Ferguson to a lot of places, what was their reaction? And,
oh, man.
And how should we be locking in with folks that you got to see, from Ireland to, you know, you were all over. You and others went to the United Nations, not once, but a couple of times, and, you know, and brought these cases up.
Yeah, the white European globally ain't messing with us. You know, let's keep it clear, no matter what the news say, no matter what the media say, no matter what your friends say, we got to get this thing back correct. And that's why I'm kind of moving like I'm moving right now on this one, to remind people that we are the enemies. You know what I'm saying? And you may have to edit that out. I probably can't say that on the air. But we are the N-words. And the thing is,
you're talking about as a country.
Us, the Black Americans, we're still getting treated like that. You know what I'm saying? And they still view us like that. And it don't matter how many Travelodge vacations you go on. It don't matter how many Soft Life vacations you take. It don't matter. At the end of the day, we are placed in a global discourse where there is a strong sense of anti-Blackness on this planet. And certain groups deal with it better than others, but the reality of it is there's never been a global recompense for the fact that we were packed up like animals and distributed like product. And now when we come back to certain places, not even as tourists, not even as immigrants, because first of all, we don't necessarily have a homeland that we can't claim. Why do I say that? Because we're Black Americans. If we were bought here through slavery, then guess what? We got the right to go back through free will. So how am I wrong for coming back to somewhere that I was supposed to originate from? Then also the flip side to that is, I think y'all forgot that this is a Black planet. So even if through slavery, I can't find out exactly where I came from, I do know that those oldest skulls that they found on this planet belong to a Black woman. So on a massive level, I am indigenous to this whole entire rock. So if they picked me up and forgot to bring me back, and it's now my job to figure out where I'm gonna go, guess what? I kind of got the right to go anywhere.
Hmm. I hear you on that. Global citizen. Weren't we telling everybody to think globally once upon a time?
Yeah.
We were telling people, get a passport, see the world,
you
know, make friends everywhere, go travel, see yourself as being a part of the world. And now they want us to isolate, and now they want to penalize folks for doing that very thing.
Well, they want to keep us imposed in these invisible prisons, and these, you know, they setting up these invisible prisons and restricting travel and making it hard for us to move around. And what's happening right now, man, I'm going to be an old man talking about it, is they bringing in that fascism, man. And I'm seeing now that I'm signing up to be one of them guys that's gonna still tell y'all about this year after year after year after year after year. Before it's all said and done, I'll have 199,000 David D interviews, because guess what? As long as they keep going, I'm gonna keep going. And they are bringing the funk with what they laying down. And I know you've heard people like me and Dave preach this, but I need you to place yourself in your body in a very visceral way that says, look, man, maybe something peculiar is happening. Maybe I do need to ask deeper questions. Maybe I do need to think about this differently. And from there, don't be afraid to fight. Write the think piece. Criticize the people. Criticize the people in power. Talk about the power infrastructures. And tell young people that this isn't normal and that there are other options. Whatever it is you're going to do, you better just do it, because we need you to get active right now. Right now. Not yesterday. Right now. And I really mean that with a high level sense of urgency that I'm not even performing right now. I'm telling you the sincere truth as if I'm John Connor in Terminator 2. And I've been to the future and I've seen the machines take over. And I'm coming back to tell y'all right now, if we don't start fighting today, it's going to get really bad.
We're going to leave, folks, with that. We've been talking with Tef Poe. We'll look out. We'll play the ghost of Ivory.
Ivory Perry. Ghost of Ivory Perry.
Ivory Perry, thank you. I wanted to say Ivory Jones, but Ghost of Ivory Perry. And, of course, he has the other one called Back to Back. And so we appreciate you, Tef. We will be in touch.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate you dropping the wisdom. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Peace out.
Yeah. New beginnings, St. Louis apocalypse with a ruthless setting. Delete the sentence as we use our minds to repeat the minutes. Take over, bound to be classic. I put some ether in it. A voodoo doll with Kara Spencer's face in case I need to send it. Homer Phyllis, reincarnated. I'm trying to chase the pennant. How many vicious nights I spent in jail and somehow can't forget it. Up the skull, put one in the casket. Nah, they can never stop us. She probably the newest addition to the Bell Prophet. North side, fight for your land. They trying to minimize us. The south side, reject the plan, so who can criticize us? Muddy waters made us harder, so who gon' civilize us? Paul McKee, we are not your puppets, you can't improvise us. Reverend Sekou can't save you from nothing. When the river rises, got secret codes exchange on secret LLCs and y'all disguise. She might call the police on me for this song and try to hide it. Hold your cross like Yahshua, never yield to Pontius Pilate. Up the skull at City Hall, burn it down if she inside it. I got youngins on the south, I'm Joe Biden when they sliding. Up the skull on Kara Spencer since the trenches undecided. Spell it out in black and white, it's precise, we undivided. She trying to knock the ghetto down, trying to do us like Bin Laden. And I blame Tuange the Russians, cause you knew that girl was plotting. She was watching, on the floater up the skull like Juju Watkins. Maybe if you didn't turn your back on Kim, then you could stop it. Show your sister some resilience, she inherited that office. Same way you say you inherited this one and them problems. And you need another turn, just to do something about it. They don't understand the passion of the struggle never dies. In my brain, I'm like Ukraine, I got ops on both sides. Calling out the Crips and Bloods, Moles and Ox, it's time to ride. Vice lords and disciples, put our issues to the side. For the ones who read the Torah, for the ones who read the Bible. Up the skull and say the babies, let's reverse this genocidal. Up the skull and say the babies, let's reverse this genocidal. They making diss records less than 600 people heard. If you let me tell it, that is absurd. Continue to keep my name absent when you making them songs. Nobody wanna see what happens if I make a response. The justice center full of my sentence, it's understandable. Since everybody wanna be black until them hammers blow. Promise y'all I won't die naked, I'm not D'Angelo. Who really tapped in South Africa if they up the scope? Believe me, this ain't about voting, I'm ducking no smoke. It's easy, go start a riot in jail and up the scope. The Bible said we the lost tribes, today the trumpet blow. The streets is back and we gone up the skull. They too comfortable. Prices on my head want me dead like I'm Ivory Perry. Let's up the skull since Trump is trying to close the libraries. Let's up the skull since Trump is trying to close the libraries. Let's up the skull since Trump is trying to close the libraries. Whoa! Yeah. Tef Poe. Crow Life Records. I'm frontline every time against the real ops. Know what I'm saying? The real stakeholders, the real power base, you know what I'm saying? They bulldozing your mama house, but you worry about talking to a man with a SoundCloud page. Make it make sense, dog. Make it make sense. If we gonna glorify something, let's glorify something real.
Hard knock, hard knock, hard knock, hard knock radio, hard knock radio, hard knock radio, hard knock radio.
You're tuned into Hard Knock Radio. Let's get ready to hear a commentary from Reverend Dr. Otis Moses III from Trinity Baptist Church in Chicago.
Puppet masters that are controlling the puppet, let me begin by sharing this information today. There is a person you have never heard of who may be one of the most influential thinkers in the right-wing and white nationalist space in this country. His name is Curtis Yarvin. Let me say it again, Curtis Yarvin. He founded the anti-egalitarian and the anti-democratic movement known as the Dark Enlightenment or neo-reactionary movement. This movement believes democracy is a failed experiment and must be replaced by a monarchy or a dictatorship. The way to reach this goal is through Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley venture capitalists who will use their money to sway public opinion and miseducate the masses through social media and collecting our data. One of Curtis Yarvin's disciples is a person by the name of Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel, I'm not sure the pronunciation, is a South African, an Afrikaner, just like Elon Musk, who founded PayPal. Peter Thiel funded the political rise of J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance has publicly stated that Curtis Yarvin is his intellectual mentor. Now, Curtis Yarvin says in order to destroy democracy, they have a program called RAGE. RAGE, R-A-G-E, RAGE. And this program means retire all government employee. RAGE, Project 25, RAGE, and now DOGE is doing the work of Curtis Yarvin. Curtis Yarvin believes some races are fit for servitude. Blacks have a natural lower IQ, and civil rights was applied to a population of recent hunter-gatherer ancestry, and no great moral fiber. As a result, civil rights in America created absolute garbage. The architect of Trump's presidency, Steve Bannon, is an admirer of his work. And a collection of Silicon Valley billionaire bros adhere to his philosophy. How do we push back? Number one, we've got to be educated about what is happening. Number two, we have to be deliberate with our dollars. There's no reason we should be supporting any business that plays in our face. Support local, support black businesses. Number three, support black institutions that believe in liberation. Whether it is your church, HBCU, whether it is an activist organization, unions, independent press, fraternities, sororities, all of these organizations we have to support and we have to raise our voice. And finally, you've got to be the most engaged voter, politically astute, not miseducated, but educated. They are coming after us. RAGE, retiring all government employee, dismantling the Department of Education. We are in the midst of a hostile takeover in America. But let me give you one thing. All of this research I have been doing, I found out that their greatest fear is black people when they're organized. From 1971 to today, we have the power and we are connected to an all-powerful God. In the words of Sean Connery from The Untouchables, there endeth the lesson, and that's my 5 minutes. Peace.
We saw the gesture broadcast worldwide, worldwide, worldwide. A billionaire's hand raised with pride, raised with pride. A symbol of hate, a chilling sign. A moment that shook the fragile.
Dreams rise high in the sky. AI watching with an all-seeing eye. Will it break these chains or tighten the noose? Will we find the truth or just more abuse?
Silicon, Silicon, Silicon,
Silicon Valley.
Silicon, Silicon.
Silicon Valley, is she friend or foe? Selling us dreams or cashing our soul? Wired for freedom or trapped and controlled? Will high tech save us or swallow us whole? Silicon Valley, has she lost her way? Is it a place for innovation or a path for new slaves?
Silicon, Silicon.
Oh, wait for me, past the new slaves.
Silicon, Silicon.
Lost her way.
Silicon, Silicon.
Crypto kings stacking wealth way out of sight. Algorithms shaping wrong and hiding what's right. Does Silicon Valley love us or want us destroyed? Is feeding our minds or keeping us void? Is she building a bridge or widening the gap? Is she giving us power or holding us back?
Silicon, Silicon.
Is she friend or foe? Selling us dreams or cashing our soul? Wired for freedom or trapped and controlled? Will high tech save us or swallow us whole?
Swallow us whole. Silicon, 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 Silicon.
We all seen the Nazi salute. Don't gaslight us. Ask yourself this question: is Silicon Valley for us or them? Us or them?
En fête et en délire, suffoquant sous le soleil et sous la joie. Et j'entends dans la musique les cris, les rires qui éclatent et rebondissent autour de moi. Et perdu parmi ces gens qui me bousculent, étourdi, désemparé, je reste là. Quand soudain je me retourne, il se recule et la foule vient me jeter entre ses bras. Emporté par la foule qui nous entraîne, écrasés l'un contre l'autre, nous ne formons qu'un seul corps. Et le flot sans effort nous pousse enchaîner l'un et l'autre, et nous laisse tous deux épanouis, enivrés et heureux. entraîné par la foule qui s'élance et qui danse une folle farandole, nos deux mains restent soudées. Et parfois soulever nos deux corps enlacés s'envolent et retombent tous deux épanouis, enivrés et heureux. Et la joie qu'elle a poussée par son sourire me transperce et rejaillit au fond de moi. Mais soudain, je pousse un cri parmi les rires quand la foule vient l'arracher d'entre mes bras. Emportée par la foule qui nous traîne, nous entraîne, nous éloigne l'un de l'autre, je lutte et je me débat. Mais le son de ma voix s'étouffe dans le rire des autres, et je crie de douleur, de fureur et de rage, et je pleure. Et traînée par la foule qui s'élance et qui danse une folle farandole, je suis emportée au loin. Et je crispe mes poings maudissant la foule qui me vole, l'homme qu'elle m'avait donné que je n'ai jamais retrouvé.
To KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM.